Hey, you guys, Flickers of Fear time once again, and we're still doing Monster March. This is another movie that was recommended by one of you guys in one of our sidetracks live stream, the live chat. And this is another one that somehow kind of like went under my radar. And I feel like it went under a lot of people's radar because it really didn't do all that well. It came out in 2016. And it's kind of a shame because I really, really liked this a lot. But I can see how some people might not, because it is a genre-bending type of film, and it's something, it's weird. Like, the concept of it is very weird, but if you, like, get into the concept, I think it's, like, really, really entertaining. And I don't really think I've seen anything quite like this before, like any kind of genre mashup like this. So as I mentioned, this came out in 2016 and it's called Colossal. Now I will say it's probably better. I did not watch the trailer. Pretty much all I knew about this movie going into it was just like a one sentence summary of the plot. Which, so I kind of knew what was coming, but I think this is one of those movies that is way better if you don't really know where it's going. If you don't want the whole thing spoiled for you, then I would recommend, like, not watching this. I know I say this a lot, but I just think it's better not really knowing where it's going at all. Now, I will say, though, it's not exactly a horror movie. It's not, I don't even know what I would call it. It's definitely a mashup of sci-fi, fantasy, action with like indie drama comedy, or maybe like a black comedy. So it's a very, very unusual combination. And I think in the wrong hands, this could have gone terribly, terribly wrong. But I mean, I think it's a credit to the director and the actors involved that this works as well as it does, and that it was successful as it was, at least from my point of view. Because like I said, I really, really liked it a lot. So this was directed by Nacho Vigalondo, who probably best known for doing Time Crimes. He also did probably like the best segment in, I think it was in VHS Viral. It was one of the VHS movies anyway. He also did Open Windows, if any of you have seen that, which was kind of like done entirely on a computer. Not a bad flick at all. And he also did Pooka, the Christmas movie that was on Hulu that we reviewed. It's in part of the Into the Dark series. I did Pooka and the sequel as well. So he directed that too. So he's a Spanish director, and his stuff is usually, I've seen a couple of them. I haven't seen Time Crimes yet, even though a lot of people have told me that I should, because it's like a really good sci-fi. I have seen Open Windows, and I have seen Pooka, and I have seen the VHS movie that had his segment in it. So I have seen like a good thing of his stuff. But I kind of feel like had a director like him not been at the helm of this, I don't know if it would have worked as well, but thankfully he was involved, so. This also has Anne Hathaway in it, and apparently, see, I didn't even know this because I don't follow, I like movies. I mostly, follow horror movies and stuff like that, so I don't really know what's going on in, like, the bigger, wider, like, movie world, entertainment world generally. Like, sometimes I'll go see stuff, but I don't usually read a lot of stuff. I'm not like real into like celebrity gossip or behind the scenes kind of shit. So I didn't realize that Anne Hathaway, I guess, had something of maybe a backlash. I'm not sure entirely why. Maybe she was just in too much stuff, or people were over her, or whatever. I don't know. But I didn't even know that until like I started like researching this movie. But so I guess she'd been in some stuff. I've seen her in a few things. She's fine. And she was kind of like, I guess the role she was getting, she wasn't like super happy about. So she said, I want to do something like weird or something different. And when she was sent this script, she was super excited about it. And honestly, it was kind of her star power that ended up getting this movie. I don't know if it ended up getting it made, but it certainly didn't hurt. You know what I mean? Because she was quite famous. So she like signed on immediately. She compared this a bit to Being John Malkovich, which, it's kind of like that. I don't want to lean too far in that direction because people might get the wrong idea. I've also seen it called Godzilla Meets Lost in Translation, which is more accurate in my opinion. But we'll get into that. So her being in this, she's kind of playing, I guess she's sort of played this kind of character before. I kind of feel like like I said, I haven't seen her in a ton of stuff, but everything that I've seen her in, she's usually some kind of, like, maybe, like, little awkward, quirky, like, manic pixie dream girl type character. In this one, though, she's actually pretty great. She plays kind of like a hot mess, alcoholic sort of character, and she pretty much kills it. Also, Jason Sudeikis is in this, and I've seen him in a few times, in a few things, and I feel like he usually plays, you know, kind of like the affable everyman, like nice dude type of character, and he kind of subverts that a little bit in this role, and he's fantastic. He's really, really good in this. So, you know, like I said, I haven't seen him in a ton of stuff, but he just, like, he really impressed me in this movie. So let's get into, like I said, this is better if you don't know where it's not a horror movie. It is a monster movie. There are monsters in it. It's a kaiju movie, but it's like a cross between a kaiju movie and like an indie black comedy. I don't want to sell too much of the comedy. It is funny, but I see a lot of things calling it comedy, and I don't know if I'd call it that. Like, maybe dramedy is more, or maybe black comedy, I don't know, because it does, like, get darker and darker toward the end, and honestly, like, some of the plot twists, or some of the twists that the plot took, like, as it went on, actually really surprised me. I didn't really know where it was going, which I thought was really good, because you can kind of, that's another thing this movie does, too. It almost takes, like, some kind of tropes of these kind of, like, indie-type movies or rom-coms, and sort of sets some stuff up like that, and then kind of, like, subverts them, like, in a really unexpected way, and I think it does that really well. So there's that as well. Like I said, I'm not really even sure what genre I would call this. It's crazy. So here's the setup. So Anne Hathaway plays this woman who, she lives in New York with her boyfriend, and she's apparently a writer. You know, she writes for some kind of like vlog or whatever. It's something like that. And she's kind of well known as far as that goes. But she's been out of work for a little while, presumably because she's a little bit of an alcoholic. So you're led to assume that some kind of like incident took place at work and she kind of got fired. So she's been out of work for a little while. And has kind of been out drinking with all her friends and stuff. And at the very beginning of the movie, basically her boyfriend comes in and says, look, I can't deal with you anymore. You need to get your shit together. You know, he's like, I love you, but this is not working out. So he kicks her out of their apartment. Now she is broke because, like I said, she has no job and now she has no house. So she doesn't really have much choice but to move back to her old kind of very small, you know, very working class hometown, which is called Mainhead. And she goes there and stays in her parents' old house, which I guess is empty. They live somewhere else, I'm presuming. And, you know, no one's renting it out. So they let her stay there. So she goes back to the town and she, by chance, or, you know, like I said, it's a very small town, she runs into a childhood friend of hers named Oscar, and he is very, very excited to see her, and he turns out he has never got out of the town, and he, his parents had owned a bar, and his parents died, so he inherited the bar, so that's what he's been doing this whole entire time. And so he, you know, he's, like I said, he's really happy to see her. They haven't spoken in a very long time. He's kind of been following her career a little bit, you know, since she went to New York. And he's always kind of like, oh, you know, I always admired you for getting the hell out of here. You were the only, you know, person that did that. And it's so cool that you're back. And so it happens that he is able to give her a part-time job at the bar, probably not the best situation since she's an alcoholic and you know, tends to like black out or do crazy irresponsible shit when she's really drunk, but yeah, so she gets a part-time job, and he also starts to do seemingly very nice things for her. Other than that, like, oh, I'll bring you some furniture, like we have all this old furniture at my uncle's house, and he like furnishes her house and like brings her a TV and all this other kind of stuff. So after this initial setup, then the weird shit starts. So it turns out that one day she's kind of like been out at the bars, like it's her first night at work at the bar, and she's hanging out with Oscar and like these two other guys that kind of work there or hang out there. She gets like super blotto drunk and blacks out for like 9 hours and doesn't remember anything. When she wakes up, she sees like her sister calls her and is like, have you seen this crazy shit on the news? So what's on the news is Seoul, South Korea, is being terrorized by a gigantic monster, a kaiju. And it kind of looks like, it doesn't look like Godzilla. It kind of looks like, I'm not even sure what it looks like. It kind of looks like Groot. I don't know. It kind of looks like a turtle-y, it's reptilian, but it has kind of like a weird, it's hard to describe. But yeah, so there's this big monster and it's kind of stomping all around South Korea, and is killing people and destroying buildings and whatnot. So, you know, obviously everybody's at first is like, oh, it's got to be a hoax. But then obviously, like, it's really not a hoax. And everybody's like, holy shit, like, giant monsters exist. This is the craziest shit ever. Like, the entire world is different now. You know, so there's all this thing where everybody in the world is like, holy crap, we have to send money to South Korea and everything. And then through a series of circumstances, it comes to pass that Anne Hathaway's character realizes that her actions directly cause the actions of the kaiju. In other words, whatever she does over here in Mainhead, which I'm assuming is upstate New York, I don't think they even say like where it's at, but anything she does, well, it's not anything. There's like all these parameters, which I'll get into in a minute. But within certain limitations and parameters, things that she does in this town, that's what the monster does in Seoul, South Korea. So her actions here are controlling this giant monster that's actually like killing people and destroying property like on the other side of the world. What the parameters are, and they kind of get into why this is later on. I mean, you can't get too much old, that wouldn't happen. Well, obviously. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, you just got to roll with it. It's magical realism. And there is, like, actually a reason why it's this one particular place. But there's this one little park, like a little playground. And she has to be, like, this particular playground is mapped almost exactly to this one area in Seoul, South Korea. So whenever she steps into this particular playground at a particular time of day, whatever she does within that playground, that's what the monster will do in Seoul. So if she swings her arm around, it'll hit a building and shit like that. So there's that kind of thing. Like I said, don't think too hard about it. I know it sounds like a crazy premise, and that's what I'm saying. On paper, on paper, this sounds like, what the fuck, like, what the fuck did I just watch? But if you're watching it, like, it absolutely works. And like I said, the balance of it, it's just crazy that you could take like a genre mashup like this and actually make it work, because it sounds ridiculous, but it actually does work. So she discovers that her actions cause, you know, this monster to do it what it's doing. And then obviously she starts feeling terrible because in her drunken stupor, when she's been like stumbling through this, you know, playground on her way home, she's presumably killed like hundreds or maybe thousands of people on the other side of the world, and she starts feeling really fucking guilty about it. So she starts to think maybe she needs to kind of like get her shit together, not drink as much, whatever. And then it comes to pass that Oscar, her friend who owns the bar, who is also, I don't want to say he's in love with her, because it's not exactly that, because his character is kind of a lot more sinister than that as it goes on, which, like I said, kind of surprised me in the end, and I was like, oh, it's going there, all right. And I kind of liked that it did that, because like I said, it's kind of ballsy. It's not a comedy. It is funny, like, toward the beginning, but it just kind of gets darker and darker, and it goes pretty fucked up places toward the end. But it turns out that her friend Oscar, he discovers that when he goes into the playground, he becomes a giant robot in Seoul, South Korea. So they kind of start, at first, they're a little bit at odds with each other, so they kind of start fighting. And so it translates to the kaiju, like, fighting over in Korea. And so as the movie goes on, I don't know. I know I said that it's like that you shouldn't know anything about it like going in. But now that I'm kind of at this point, I was like, I don't really know if I want to necessarily spoil where it goes, because I feel like a lot of people maybe didn't see this. Like I said, it came out in 2016. I think it only cost like $15 million to make, you can tell it's lower budget because a lot of it is kind of like, you know, like an indie drama comedy, black comedy type of thing. And then most of the monster action is like on people's TVs and stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't, because they're, you know, they're, all the people like watching the monster action are in the United States, whereas the monsters are rampaging in Korea. Somebody's like seeing it on their phones or their tablets or the TV or whatever. So, which I think was a really good idea, because you could keep the CG to like to a minimum and, you know, make it look better. So you have that going on, but it's kind of like, so this only cost $15 million to make, and I think it made like less than $5 million back. It seemed like it just came and went. I can see why, because I think, I mean, I love, like I said, I love a good genre mashup. I love weird shit. I love a movie that's just like, it's like, yeah, we're gonna do like an indie drama with like about alcoholism and domestic abuse or like emotional manipulation, and we're gonna make, and we're gonna do it with kaiju in it, and you know what I mean? And I just, I love the audacity of that. But I know a lot of people don't. A lot of, it's not like a straightforward, you know, it is a what the fuck did I just watch kind of movie, but in kind of like the best possible way. But so yeah, I will say, obviously, this is another, you know, there have been other movies before that where like the monster was a metaphor for something. And in this one, you know, obviously the monster is, you know, a metaphor for her, not just her alcoholism, but also her kind of, her lack of power over her own life, her lack of self-esteem, her kind of like self-hatred in a way. So it's kind of like something she has to battle, even though the monster is real and it does actually have effects on people. And so I kind of think that that's, like I said, that's kind of where the metaphor comes from, of her being this monster and like destroying, you know, other people without meaning to. So there's that. But to the movie's credit, it knows that the metaphor is very on the nose. So there's a lot of other stuff going on too. Like I liked, like all the monster shit is cool. Like don't go into this thinking that it's going to be like wall to wall, like kaiju action, because it's not. You know, you do get a couple little monster destruction things, but it's mostly, like I said, on screens, like you're seeing it on the news or whatever. This is mostly like kind of a thing between, mostly between her and Oscar, like how their relationship develops and how the, how their own like kind of monsters or demons like fight with one another. And I'm making it sound like when I said that out loud, I was kind of like, people were probably just like, oh Jesus Christ, and were like rolling their eyes and stuff. It's not like, it's not pretentious. I did not find it pretentious at all, even though, as I said, the central metaphor is very obvious, but that's okay. Like the movie knows that and like rolls with it, and it still works, you know what I mean? And it's still really entertaining. I really liked all the character stuff. Like I said, Jason Sudeikis, I mean, Anne Hathaway is great in this too. She's pretty good, like, you know, she's pretty awesome, like playing a hot mess. This might be the first thing that I've seen her in where she played a character this fucked up or a character this damaged, but she's still sympathetic. Jason Sudeikis, like I said, I've seen him in a couple of things, and he usually plays, you know, like a nice dude. So I kind of like that in this, they sort of like subverted that a little bit. Like he does start out playing, you know, his regular kind of like, hey, I'm a nice guy character and I'm going to help you out and all this other stuff. And then it just gets darker and darker and darker. And it was kind of scary because, you know, we've all known people like that, that put on this like veneer of being this really nice, super helpful person. But when shit doesn't go the way they want it to, then suddenly the mask comes off and, you know, now they're a monster essentially. So I really like that it went there. And like I said, this went like way darker than I was expecting to. It's not, I don't want to say, it's not like a giant bummer. It's really, really hard to explain. It's hard to explain like the tone of this movie because it's like funny, but really dark. And then it's like has monsters, but it's, I don't know. It's like, it's really, it struck a balance like really, really well. So like I said, I don't think I've ever seen, I've seen some weird ass movies in my time with some weird ass concepts. This probably isn't the weirdest concept I've ever heard of for a movie or that I've ever seen in a movie, but I don't know. This is, it's a really original take on not just like an indie film, like a metaphorical film about like addiction and, you know, domestic abuse and things like that, but also this kind of, I don't know, just this kind of like, also it's kind of like a fun monster movie, like with comedic elements in it too. And like I said, that seems like it would be really, really difficult to pull off, but props to Nacho Vigalondo for fucking going there. And like I said, fucking, I will always respect a filmmaker that will make something weird like this, knowing that it's probably not going to do very well or it's not going to connect with a lot of audiences because it's just too bizarre. So that's, I have a lot more respect for filmmakers that do that, that just, oh, we're going to like make this big crowd-pleasing movie that's fine, but everybody will forget about it in a little while. I don't think I'm going to be forgetting this movie anytime soon. I really had a good time with it, and I thought it was pretty fucking great. So if you want to watch it, it's on Hulu at the moment. It's probably some other places too, but I watched it on Hulu. And like I said, I think it might have been Tila that recommended this, but I could be wrong about that. Like, so if one of y'all is watching it, like, tell me who it was that recommended it. Because this is another one that just kind of passed me by, and that's kind of a shame. So I'm glad that I have some of you guys out there to, like, recommend some movies to me, because there's so many out there that, that I can't keep track of all of them. So, if it wasn't Tila, then whoever it was, like, thank you very much for recommending this, because I really, really dug this a great deal. So as I said, it's on Hulu if you want to watch it, and that will do it for this installment of Flickers of Fear, continuing on with Monster March, and I will see you guys on the next one. Bye!